Lucy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, looking at some of the commentary that's been shot at the Safe Schools Coalition, what kind of criticisms are we actually seeing?
Well, what we've actually been seeing is a idea that Safe Schools is going into to schools with an agenda, specifically a gay agenda, and indoctrinating children into radical sexual and gender identities. And also just the regular criticism, I suppose, that same-sex attracted and transgender people receive, which is that their identities are lifestyle choices and that it's something that shouldn't necessarily be supported and more specifically definitely shouldn't be celebrated. So it's the language of things like promotion and the idea of it being a threat to heterosexuality. And it's come from a range of different commentators. So we've seen it from, I guess, the more predictable commentaries have come from the religious right and conservative commentaries. And then we've also seen some criticisms from feminist commentators who see it as a perceived threat to feminism as well. So that's been a really interesting critique. But on the whole, the word indoctrination comes up in almost every single article that I've read so far. And just a note on what you said before, actually, the majority of the training doesn't actually go to the students. It goes to the staff of the school.
Mm.
So actually what Safe Schools are attempting to do is to just raise the awareness of staff. And staff are actually asking for this training. So I think the word indoctrination is a really funny choice in these articles because they're really latching onto the smallest part of this training, or this awareness raising. It's only very recently that Safe Schools have made resources for students, and that's just because schools have been asking. But traditionally, they've been going into schools and delivering awareness raising training for staff who are asking for this, saying our students are coming to us expressing that they're same-sex attracted and that they're experiencing bullying, or they're coming to us saying that they're transitioning, they're transgender and they're transitioning and they want to be identified as the opposite gender, and we don't know how to handle this effectively. Can you give us some training in how to make the school more enabling for that population of the students?
Ironically enough, it seems like a lot of this criticism that the gays will come in and indoctrinate your children, that it's a lifestyle choice, it kind of seems like most of this criticism is the exact reason programs like this exist in the first place.
Well, absolutely. And what we've actually seen is we've seen the fact that it's made people go out there and like the Safe Schools Facebook page even more. And I don't know if you saw in the media yesterday that there's a new Facebook page attacking Safe Schools and also attacking the same-sex formal that's held down here in Melbourne and calling for people to buy the tickets for the same-sex formal so that young people can't attend.
Charming.
So calling for people who are against the same-sex formal to buy the tickets. And actually what happened is that Minus 18, the organisation who organises that same-sex formal, called for the LGBTIQ population to sponsor tickets and got so much funding that any same-sex attracted youth can now attend for free.
Mm.
What it actually did was raise awareness of what Minus 18 is doing, and also, yeah, as you said, raise awareness of the fact that there are people out there who make the world feel a little bit less kind for young trans and same-sex attracted people.
As much as I like to see bigots scoring an own goal like that, I just wanted to unpack something that you said earlier about normative gender roles and the way in which some of these classes, I guess, you know, if you're looking at the perspective or you're trying to really, from the most basic point of view, look at the perspective from a trans person, you might say, well, what are some stereotypes of the other gender that you would expect to adopt, and that might be the way in which gender roles comes into play. So this criticism that the training can be gender conforming, do you think there's anything in that?
Do you mean the criticism that has come from feminists who consider it to be actually just imposing more gender identity?
Yeah, I mean, my mind immediately goes to there's an image that floats around online talking about gender and sexuality that's saying, well, everybody's got these different forms of gender, and it's basically blue for boys, pink for girls, and separating up a whole bunch of human-sized figures into these cliched ideas of what boys and girls mean. So whether this kind of training is enforcing that sort of idea?
Okay. Well, this actually, I guess this criticism comes up a lot, which is the idea that by talking about gender more, we're kind of reinforcing it even more, you know, that banging on about it is just putting it in everybody's head. And I think that, for me, the real problem with that idea is that actually gender's being passively reinforced all of the time, whether we know or not. You know, those messages about gender are coming to us from every direction, all day, every day, from before we're born, as I said in the piece I published in The Conversation yesterday, and then throughout our lives. So I think that by making it explicit, like, say, schools do, I don't think that's somehow suddenly bringing, you know, gender into the minds of young people. I think it's undermining that passive reinforcement of there only being two and of them being very, very rigid, you know. And In the gender studies world, we would call that heteronormativity, and that applies to both sexuality and gender. And that's the assumption that everybody's straight, and that's the right way to be, and everybody's gender normative, and that's the right way to be. And, you know, whether we acknowledge it or not, there's heteronormative assumptions underpinning everything in society, every interaction we have with people. And I think that it's just making explicit something that already exists in schools. Say schools are making something explicit. And the thing is, again, that the students are going to the staff at schools and saying things like, I want to transition, but I don't feel like the school has any policies or approaches that can support me in this. So the schools are then going to say schools and saying, can you help us? How do we accommodate the student who is transitioning their gender? And then it becomes an issue anyway. And if that student transitions without that kind of support, I can imagine it being a lot more messy and there being a lot more talk about gender than if, say, schools go in there and kind of help it to happen a bit more safely and just a bit more calmly. And I think also people underestimate kids and young people and their ability to accept things, you know. I think that the idea that you can indoctrinate young people like that is really problematic, and I think it's surprising how nuanced their ideas can be, and really, Safe Schools is about trying to make students have respectful relationships to all kinds of different people. Which I don't see how that can be a bad thing.
Yeah. After all, if you think it's so easy to go around changing your sexuality like you change a pair of pants, why don't you try it for once? Don't really see the logic behind it.
Absolutely.
Lucy, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time coming on and having a bit of a chat with us.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.